Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Chuck Hammond broadcasting live from the Unified Trust Studios, the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group, Hanover, Pennsylvania. You know it's a good day when you walk out of your garage and it smells like French fries. Thanks to the people at Utz for putting out such a very good smell in the local Hanover area, the salty snack capital of the world. The show is content that moves the needle. We're all day, every day. We try to bring partners and solutions to the 401k advisor to help them grow and scale their practice. And today it is my great pleasure to be bringing on a friend of the group and a friend of mine, Ms. Kathleen McBride. Kathleen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thanks for being here. Kathleen does not get the vote for the furthest caller away. She's in New York, but that's okay. Kathleen is an industry expert, founder of Fiduciary Path. She's a fiduciary analyst for CFIX, and she is also the chair of the Committee for the Fiduciary Standard. Kathleen has been an advocate in the space for fiduciary oversight and transparency for a very long time. She's a frequent contributor to several journals, writes her own blog. And Kathleen, a hearty welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chuck.
Well, I went over your resume very quickly. If you've got a couple of seconds, what I'd like you to do is at the beginning, let folks know where they can find you, Twitter, LinkedIn, website, and then jump into a little bit about your background very briefly, because we are here to talk about a couple of things, and I don't want to make sure that we accomplish that goal in the 20 to 25 minutes that we have.
All right. Thank you. Well, we're on LinkedIn under Kathleen McBride, AIFA, if there are more than one, and on Twitter under K McBride_wealth and Fiduciary Path on Twitter, @ before those. We at Fiduciary Path focus on helping make the industry into a profession when it comes to advice. So what we do is work with firms and individuals, but mostly firms, in helping them put together a fiduciary framework for their investment decision making. The framework, to me, is interesting because what it does is give everyone a way of setting up their firm so that the outcomes are optimum for investors and for the firm over the long haul. And so the discipline of setting up this fiduciary framework actually helps protect firms, because as you do this, you go over your process, and sometimes firms find that there are gaps in the fiduciary process they have. Or right now, as the discussion on fiduciary swirls in the investment ecosphere, firms are moving toward the fiduciary process from the regular broker-dealer or insurance processes before. So some of this may be new, some of this is old hat, depending on where your firm has been. And that's what we do.
Well, Kathleen, thanks for mentioning that. So, you know, the title of today's show is Talking CFIX Certification and the Benefits of a Streamlined 401k Practice. And CFIX is very well known in very small circles inside of the industry. So one of my main goals for the show is to point out things for the majority of our audience, which are 401k-centric advisors, to not just give them a leg up, but also allow them to be better at the job they're doing for their plan sponsors, and more particularly, and maybe more importantly, plan participants. So if you'd be kind enough, talk to me about what the AIFA is, what a CFIX certification does, and then we can get into why advisors want to look at it, who is it best for, what's the process, and where they can learn. So once again, I'll be quiet and let you jump into the whole CFIX certification.
Okay, thanks. Well, the AIFA is Accredited Investment Fiduciary Analyst. That's an accreditation that is confirmed by you take training from FI360, which is a well-known trainer in the fiduciary space. It also has tools that help fiduciaries fulfill their due diligence duties and their monitoring of investments duties, providing reports for your 401k plan sponsors, trustees, and helping them and you decide when the investments that they have chosen, either putting together the original lineup or monitoring that lineup so that there's a kind of flag on the play when a firm needs to look at the lineup and potentially replace. It doesn't dictate when you'd have to replace these tools, but it does give you a lot of stats and data on what's going on with some of these different kinds of alternatives for plans and helps fiduciaries do their job well. So that's the AIFA. The training that that I got as an AIF, which is the first level of training, accredited investment fiduciary, is the basic fiduciary framework for firms. And there's a handbook, believe it or not, for all of this that allows firms that want to, and individuals that want to professionalize their practice and make sure they're not missing a piece of their fiduciary obligation, have those pieces in place, have a reference point, and then make their practice more and more professional as they go. The AIFA, the analyst piece of that, is what gives me the expertise to go in and either consult with firms to put their fiduciary firms' practices in place or to audit the firm's fiduciary practices for CFEX certification. And that certification from the Center for Fiduciary Excellence lets investors and firms, plan sponsors, know that a firm is serious about its fiduciary duty, that it's got these practices in place, and that they've basically invited in a third party to take in an impartial look and verify their practices. So it can be of value to firms to do that first in the process of the audit, making sure that they're not missing pieces of their fiduciary duty. And then secondly, if they can earn certification, it's a big deal for the firm because they become part of an elite group of firms that are certified.
Well, Kathleen, thank you very much for going into both the beginning parts of CFIX and the difference between the AIF and the AIFA. Now, there are a lot of tools out there for advisors to use, but most of them have always been set up to be due diligence tools around investment lineups. So when you start talking about fiduciary framework, you know, my ears perked up when we started talking about doing this interview a few months ago. How does a CFIX certification help one firm differentiate itself from another firm? And then as a follow-up, and you can mix them up if you want to or weave them together any way you see fit. So first of all, how does it benefit one firm over another? How does it give them the ability to highlight it? And how invasive is this process?
Great questions. So CFIX certification is in some ways akin to what an RIA firm would do when they have their audit by their CPAs. Firms of a certain size get audited by their CPAs and their accounting practices are verified. This is different from that in that it is an audit of a firm's investment fiduciary process. So in the handbook that I mentioned before, it's called Prudent Practices for Investment Advisors, and it is a handbook that is used both by individuals and firms. For a CFEX audit, we go through the process of looking at the best practices that are outlined in this handbook. And in the handbook, I wish I had it to hold up here, that you could see, but I can send it to anyone who's interested. The handbook basically outlines a number of fiduciary best practices. Some of them are very practical. For instance, does the firm regularly vet its vendors in order to make sure that it's getting the best value for the price that it's paying to its vendors? So some of them are just good management, and others are really getting down into the nitty-gritty of fiduciary practices, and those are backed by case law and by regulation. And that's all actually outlined in the handbook so that people can see why this would be a best practice and the benefits to the firm for following those. So not every firm will be set up initially, or some firms will not ever really be set up to be certified. It really does take some effort, but all of the efforts that firms take on to become certified really benefit the firm and their clients. For instance, we spend time at the firm in the initial certification. The firm has already gone through the process of actually filling out an online, sort of like an application, but basically it's like an online report. We ask these questions, they put in their notes, and then the analyst, that would be a person like me, goes into a firm and takes this online filled in what we call CAFE and verifies that what the firm has said it is doing is true. And we look at, we interview people at the firm, we look at the firm's processes for documenting IPSs, for making sure that the agreements state what the firm's fiduciary status is and other things that are we look at in the agreements. We look at client files. We look at portfolios for clients. So, for instance, for 401k work, we look at the actual plan lineup. We run it through an analyzer. We look at where these funds fall in terms of reasonable cost and risk-adjusted performance, and we benchmark all of that. And we talk with the firm about their investment process. How did they arrive at this lineup? What kind of due diligence do they use? How are they figuring out for private clients asset allocation, not for a fund lineup for a 401k? And so we spend, you know, a few days with a firm going through those kinds of records, and we spend a fair amount of time before we even get to the in-person on-site gathering documents. And we compare, let's say that it's a 401k plan that has mostly a mutual fund lineup. So we're comparing, you know, what's in that mutual fund lineup, we're looking at the 401k's assets in each fund. We're comparing assets in the funds overall at the firm to assets at custodians. We're looking at how they arrive at their vendor approval process. Do they do an RFP? Is there a different kind of process? And things like that. So it's a very common sense kind of audit that is backed by this handbook full of best practices and the backup, why these are good practices for firms.
Okay, thank you very much. So let's talk about how someone would determine whether or not their firm or their office was ready to undertake the sort of vetting of their fiduciary framework and process. You know, is it a size thing? Is it a time in the industry thing? Is it an infrastructure thing? Or is it all of those?
I think it's a little bit of, you know, of all of those. There are firms that range from under $1 million in assets that have been certified to, I think the largest is 30 or 40 billion. You know, and depending on the cost of the assessments is based on the size of the assets that are under management or under advisement, the types of assets. Are they, is there an ERISA 321 or 338 component to this or 316? And then, so it depends on the amount of time the analyst will have to spend looking at the firm, the complexity of operations, and exactly what's being looked at. And the price range, I mean, this is kind of a broad range, but, you know, the price range for a CFEX initial assessment is something like $5,000 to $25,000, depending on the firm size. I mean, most of them will fall into the teens or under. But the very large firms, obviously, it takes more time. We're looking at more files, et cetera. And there is the initial assessment. Then there is, and that's on site. Then there are renewal assessments each year, and those are less costly. What we're doing in those cases for the renewal assessments is verifying that those good practices are still in place. So normally, unless a firm has acquired another firm or, you know, grown in assets or lost a lot of assets, something's going on, normally the first initial assessment is on-site, then the next year is off-site, and that's about 45% of the initial cost. And then the third year it would be on-site, so alternating generally between on-site and off-site assessments. So many documents are kept electronically that we can do a lot off-site. And so the firm renews its assessment every year, and once a firm has earned its initial CFEX assessment, they get to display the CFEX seal, I think at some point the industry will get to a show me the CFEX seal kind of preference for advisory providers. And that will be the group of firms that really has their practices buttoned down. So they get listed in a group of firms that are CFEX certified, and then they get to use the mark. They get to display that they've been audited, that this is something that they've been doing voluntarily to make sure that they are really top-notch in their process.
Kathleen, so they've got all this stuff built. They've been at it for a while. They inquire. They do the online form. And let's be honest, they pay the money. And then all of a sudden, there's something missing that would keep mm-hmm. them from obtaining this certification. How does mm-hmm. that work, mm-hmm. and how do they remedy that?
Well, two things happen before an assessment even gets started. One is there is a self-assessment that we can walk through with firms. It's a, you know, sort of a top line, really high level view of, you know, are you looking at this, 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 and this? And that's something that doesn't take very long, and there's no cost for that. Once a firm feels like it's buttoned up, if they're still not completely sure, they can go through a readiness assessment. There is a nominal charge for that, but that would get applied to their CFEX certification once they are ready. So the readiness assessment goes through these processes in more depth to make sure that the firm's not missing anything big. As part of the audit process that we do, actually, for a CFEX certification, we go in with, the, you know, we determine what the scope is. What are we looking at? For some firms, it might be their retirement planning or advisory piece alone and not other parts of the firm. And we outline the scope so everybody knows what we're looking at and what we're not looking at. Once that's determined, we start to actually get into the nitty-gritty of the assessment itself. And every year, as we go through the assessment, we keep everyone informed about what we're seeing. If there is anything that we have questions on, we have a lot of questions. You know, we ask a lot of questions as part of the process. And then if something comes up that's surprising, we ask about that. It's not like we're going in there with an attitude of gotcha. We really want the firms that earn certification to earn it, number one, but deserve it, and also make sure that they're not missing a piece. So if we have two levels of, not alert, but two levels of basically letting firms know when there is a piece that they can improve of their fiduciary process, or a piece where they're not conforming to a best practice, and talk about why that would be. So the first level is an opportunity for improvement. The opportunity for improvement is something that most firms get some opportunities for improvement during the assessment process. And those are things where we write a very short report outlining what it is that could be improved. And then we look at these as, you know, we build this this firm certification year by year look at the firm's process. And we're not going in looking for firms to be perfect. No firm is perfect. It's really how do you work on your process to continuously improve it, and making sure that you're not missing a large piece of process. For instance, if we go in and we see a firm, you know, is missing a document or this or that, we'll just point out, okay, this process, you know, you may need to button this up a bit more tightly. This is what we're seeing, and this is what we'd like to see. If a firm is really not conforming to a practice, then we file something that's called a nonconformance. This is something that is the firm's. It's not something that is public. It goes to the firm, and we talk about where the firm is not conforming to a particular practice, and we ask, you know, questions about why that is. And the firm has, we have to stop the assessment at that point, and the firm has a period of time to cure that nonconformance. And so firms have ways of taking steps to cure that, and then they can proceed with the assessment process. I think
okay,
these
thanks.
Are actually useful. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No,
I think
oh, no, no, no.
Because...
Listen, this is a big deal. This is a very involved, complex decision that an RIA firm or a retirement plan specialist firm would want to go through to sort of put them out ahead. I don't necessarily know if the industry or plan sponsors in general are uber educated on the intricacies and the value of the CFEX certification. But that's why I'm having you on today. You know, there are a lot of advisors that tune into this show that have really good practices and procedures in, and even if they wouldn't necessarily want to go down that road, they may want to look at what's involved in it to see where they would fall. So is there a way to learn more about CFEX certification without formally going through the process?
Yes. Well, two things. The process itself, when someone like me goes in and looks at a firm's processes, their client files, I realize they're opening, you know, very confidential things. And all of the CFEX analysts are covered under confidentiality rules. So if we, you know, go to a firm and we see that they're not conforming to a practice, they have a chance to cure that. We're not announcing to the world, A, that they've gone through the process. We don't announce that a firm is not conforming to a practice. We actually want the firm to know. I mean, it's a great way for a firm to know where that's a risk to them if they're not conforming. So it's not about us, you know, going in and saying, you know, you didn't conform to this. This is basically a way for a firm to diagnose where they're missing a piece and they need to take a look at that and cure it. We don't dictate how they cure it, but they need to look at that risk because somebody that's, you know, an authority could come in and see that they're missing a piece. So it's a great way to manage that kind of risk in terms of practice. But all of what we do is very confidential. And I should back up and say that Fiduciary Path, my firm, I am not an RIA. I was a long time ago, but I don't do that now. I think that I can be more effective in the role of helping firms become the most effective fiduciaries they can. And so I'm not looking to gather assets. I'm not an RIA firm looking at another RIA firm, for instance. You know, I'm an independent person, and I don't, you know, I'm not looking to see what you're doing so that I can take your clients. I have no interest in that. So in terms of firms being able to, you know, benefit from the process, I think that this whole thing about knowing if there is a piece missing is kind of a key diagnostic that I think is very hard to get elsewhere. And then in terms of plan sponsors, this whole discussion about the DOL's fiduciary proposal I think has brought to plan sponsors, you know, this brought to the forefront this whole issue that they are fiduciaries, and not all of them really understand that very well. And many of them, once they do understand that, really want to know who can I get to actually come in and take some of the fiduciary burden off of me, be the fiduciary for part of this plan. So whether it's a 321 investment advisor or a 338 or 316, they're looking to help alleviate that burden because, you know, under ERISA, they're permitted to bring in prudent experts. CFEX is one of those things that can help you prove you're a prudent expert here. So I think that makes a huge difference. And the conversation among plan sponsors and even individual investors is getting so that they're actually talking about fiduciary. I think that's quite amazing as an outcome to the whole industry discussion here.
I'd have to agree that subjecting yourself to any type of exam, whether it's medical or professional, is never usually the most savory thing to do. But if you're trying to hold your firm to the highest level of standard and you've spent a tremendous amount of time building an infrastructure and a team and best practices, this would be a formal way to showcase it, which is why I wanted to have you on today to talk about it, even if it was only sort of scratching the surface. And to be quite honest, I said we'd be on the air 20 minutes, and most folks who listen to the show know that I'm a bald-faced liar. It's been 24. And
sorry.
I don't want – no. I do not want to shortchange the conversation. But at the same point in time, this is a format where we put forth just enough information to have an advisor scratch his or her head and go, yeah, I don't know that much about that. Not sure if it's appropriate, but I should take 10 or 15 minutes to go look at it. And that's a really important method of – doing a little bit of introspection. And it's also, you know, a very easy format to be able to distribute to the advisors that that enjoy listening to the show and looking at it and listening to it when it's convenient for them. So CFEX is a bellwether for retirement plan and RIA firms that are sort of going above and beyond, having some type of certification that makes them a prudent expert, especially in the ERISA space. We could have a whole other conversation on the DOL's proposal and will it happen, won't it happen, and when it'll happen. And I'm sure that I'd like to have you on before it happens to talk a little bit about that, at least from your perspective. But before I let you go in the couple of minutes that we have left, give out your contact information again, possibly your email address.
Yeah,
so if
sure.
people want to talk, if people want to talk to the person that actually comes out and gives them the exam, that can give them an idea of what firms maybe in their area have it, why it would be advantageous, can they use it to garner more clients? Let people know again how they can get a hold of you.
Okay. Well, my email is kmcbride@fiduciarypath.com. So it's KMC. Be like boy, R-I-D-E, at fiduciarypath.com. I'm happy to provide the PDF of the handbook, the FI360 Prudent Practices Handbook for anybody that's interested and talk about this. We can look at the self-assessment. It's a very short form way of beginning to figure out how buttoned up am I on these practices and what do I need to do to get ready for being, assessed and potentially certified. I'm happy to answer any questions, so please reach out. I'd be delighted to, talk or email or help you see the firms that are near to you. You can also go to cfex.org/advisors, A-D-V-I-S-O-R-S, to see a list of the certified RIA firms that are already there. Our goal is really to help the professionals in this industry make sure that they understand their fiduciary duty and help them to fulfill those. There's no magic recipe. It's a set of principles. There are a lot of different ways of fulfilling those principles. We're there to support that and to help the firms that can earn this elite recognition get that recognition.